Whilst you were a soldier in India, did you think that British rule was going to end soon?
No, I had no idea it would. Being as the way we got on, you know, there was no reason why it should. There was no inkling. We didn't get any, not even any talk about it. And that was 37. And the way things were going, I thought we were there forever. There was no reason why we should move. And that's why it was such a shock when it did come off.
How much did you know about the conditions of the Indian people, like the sort of poverty in India and the state of health and the political conditions and religious conditions? Did you know very much about how the Indian people were living?
Well, not really. There was a lot of poverty. You saw that yourself on the plains when you were on. You saw more of it then on the plains than you did up the Himalayas. And that was a thing you just took for granted. You just saw it in the street, somebody laying in the street. Nobody knew them, kind of business. But it was an everyday thing. You just took it for granted as far as that was concerned. And they were always very old people, very old men. But as far as poverty was concerned.
Why did you think they were poverty-stricken?
Well, because they were in such a state. I mean, this particular one we knew, laying in the gutter there, he was deformed and crippled, eaten up with disease. And, well, to us, he only had a matter of minutes to live, I should say, because we were getting in the train for going up from Dhaka to Darjeeling, and he was laying in, you know, outside the station. Terrible state.
But what I mean is, how do you think it had come about that they were so poverty-stricken? Whose fault do you think it was?
Well, that I couldn't say. I mean, that's going back in the history of family life, which we knew nothing of, not because they lived separate. You see, that is my whole story. With the British troops in India, we were always intact, one body. And all outside that body, what was going on was the Indian villages. And apart from bazaars, and all we could hear was, say, what they call families shouting, it's all Hindustani, which meant nothing to us, but it wasn't something, a shout for help or somebody in trouble. It was every day, because we used to hear this weird noise and language, and we didn't attach any importance to it. There was nobody being killed and, you know, thrown at your doorstep kind of business. So we couldn't connect, not with the way they're living, except for the more educated, you know, people like I met in Bengal, people we met on Leaf in Lahore, Kashmir. Because I travelled northern India, and you got a lot of that. It seemed to be, to me, we seemed to be on the, going around the perimeter of India, if you know what I mean. We wasn't really right into it like Madras and places like that.
What did you know about Gandhi? Oh, you said you saw Gandhi on that occasion.
I met him the first week.
What did the troops think about Gandhi?
Well, then again, I mean, Gandhi was something to do with the Indians and whatnot. I mean, if you saw it in the paper, Gandhi so-and-so, they attached no more importance to it. So, old Gandhi's at so-and-so last week. Oh, best of luck. You don't want to come here making trouble. Matter of conversation. He wasn't important, not to us. Because them days he was apparently a troublemaker. But he didn't bother us. So we didn't attach any importance to him. Let him carry on his way.
Had the troops heard of any other Indian political leaders apart from Gandhi?
No, not really. Because troops in India, as far as politics were concerned, it was out. They didn't want to know. Well, if you sat in a bungalow, Parsons Eye, or the evenings talking, you would never go through that bungalow and see a group sitting on the bed talking politics. That word was forgotten, as far as we were concerned, anyway. We never spoke politics because we didn't know anything about it. You know, like you see it now, as is a parliament and so and so. Where you study your parliament here, the prime minister and what have you, you know them. But in India, it didn't worry us. Our government was here in England. We wasn't concerned with them. We were under military rule. As far as political side outside, the Indian side, well, we didn't want to know.
Did the army discourage you from taking an interest in politics?
No, they didn't discourage. But then again, there was no need for it. You know, politics didn't arise on anything because you had so much to take up your time in India without talking politics. You were either writing, and you'd done plenty of that. I used to be writing every night. But,
writing letters home.
Letters, yeah, writing letters home. But I'll say your time is occupied. Of course, politics, well, that was farthest from your thoughts. You had more to take up your work, you know, mind and thoughts, and start worrying about politics. You were happy, you were under control, the good military control, the government was home. They wanted us home, then we go home, but everybody was happy. We were happy. The direct contacts were happy, the Indian, you know, contractors and all that who we worked with, we were all getting along famous. No trouble at all.
Did you see newspapers?
Yes, I used to have Overseas Daily Mail. Yes, it was the Overseas Daily Mail, the first one I bought. I was up at Chakrata. And when I left Portland, I had a brother in the Navy. He was on submarines. And he saw me off to India. And he made a joke. And he said, want to watch it, Nipper. Always used to call me Nipper. With little. Want to watch it, Nipper, when you get in the Red Sea. You get he's messing about, you know. You get these octopus come over. He said, lift it off the boat and all that. And I said, you need to take the mickey. I said, that old mess tin of yours one day, I said, go down. And it won't come up. And I've never forgiven myself for saying those words. I wish you to know. I was at Czech, Overseas Daily Mirror. I sat there, the first big thing, headline, submarine disaster. Didn't attach no importance to it, because you heard of submarine disasters every day. And I turned over and got the middle page, and all these squares of photos, 16. And there was my brother in the middle. He went down on this submarine.
Which year was that?
Chinese waters, we are we. They were rammed by a Chinese junk steamer. Accident. 1930, just after I got to India. 30, 31. Chinese waters, we are we, the place was called, always remember it. And I had letters printed, typewritten from various governments where the submarine had been. Thing you'd never get these days. You'd never get a note of condolence from anybody. But I had all these letters sent to me in India, and talking about the submarine and all that, following on in a good life. And it was marvellous.
Did Did you see any Indian newspapers whilst you were there?
Only other stations, and then you couldn't read them, could you? but not papers, such as papers. Books. Not like we get papers.
So you didn't see any English language newspaper produced in India?
No. None at all.
What about radio? Did you have a radio set?
They were very scarce. One radio set in the sergeant's bunk at the end, which we used to get the football scores through on a Saturday. Used to relay it, you know, and we used to get the football scores. Even out there, I was doing coupons. Didn't win anything, but still trying.
You used to get coupons from England, or was it an Indian pool?
Well, it was conducted somewhere from India. British football, you know, it's all printed out there. Don't know actually where they come from. But
did the army allow you to gamble?
Oh, football, yes. We used to play tombolo, AC-AC.
So it wasn't bingo. It wasn't against army rules?
Bingo was controlled, because there was money in that, you see. It used to be run by companies, or battalion bingo. You get so much, and the rest go to the regimental institute. You didn't get big wins, but it was something to pass the time, something to look forward to. Wednesday, all bingo night tonight, or AFC, tombolo, whichever you want to call it. You always had something to look forward to going to. The cinema. Cinemas.
On the occasion when you were called out to Bengal because of that political trouble, what did the army tell you about why you were going? Did they explain to you why you were going there?
No, we just got that, as I say, from word of mouth. It came from the orderly room, you know, the CO's office. The battalion's got to move to Dhaka. Then, like everything else, I say, it's magnified. By the time it's left A and got to B, there's a slaughter. I mean, a chap might only fell down and broke his finger or something at A. So it was a case of, I should say, oh, we wanted it Dhaka, emergency, in case of trouble. That would have been the telegram or whatever it might have been. But to us, we got it all, the shooting going on, you know, and there was dead laying about. But we didn't. When we got off the boat and saw these thousands were Union Jacks, oh, that's funny looking bullets. You know, a big joke, we thought. So that was that, but that was the only serious thing.